You have to know yourself to be able to align things with that, because it's going to, when that goes, relationships, your career, your hobbies, your interest, if they don't align, then they're just going to cause this friction. There's always going to be something, that there's going to be bumps in the road, and it's not going to be as well. There's going to be bumps in any road, but at the same time, if you align things with truly with what you have going on in your life and as you as a person, things are a lot smoother.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with John Brewer. John is an Army Special Forces veteran with more than 10 years of experience enabling those who act to defend life, family, and country. Knowing firsthand the importance of self-reliance, John has made it his mission to enable and empower others so they may live healthy, thriving lives. John also shares insights from his military experience and how they translate into everyday life. From practical tips for personal safety to fostering resilience in children, this conversation is packed with valuable advice for navigating life's challenges with confidence. Stay tuned for an inspiring conversation. John, thanks so much for coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
John, so you've been doing some amazing things. You've been Special Forces veteran for more than 10 years. Jen, thank you for your service. And I just want to know what you're doing today. What made you get into the space that you are in, and what enabled you to make that switch?
Yeah. So today what I'm doing, I have a startup now that is supposed to enable and empower individuals to take care, better care of themselves. And what that means is the main theme of that is self-defense and more so self-preservation. I don't really like to use the term self-defense too much, but the theme around that is that not only are you protecting yourself, because obviously we don't like bodily harm and things of that nature, but we want to protect our lives because we want to have a purposeful and meaningful life. And so that's why it's got a little bit more to it than just the normal self-defense or self-preservation piece. And so what I ended up doing is I wrote the book to lay down the foundation for the startup, and the book just goes step-by-step process of my perspective on that. And then also, like I said, have themes of self-development in it, because that's truly what it all comes down to, is self-defense is not anything more than just self-development in a very focused manner. And then obviously that's borrowed from my military experience. And so I felt after my time in the military that this was my best position to move forward and my what I can provide to society in a way. And so this is what I'm moving forward with.
Dude, that's so amazing, because I like how you put it. Self-defense or self-preservation is almost like you're making sure that you're healthy. You're making sure that you're in good condition, and so that you can protect those that you care about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's something that we do instinctively every day. Now, obviously not up to a certain level as others, because others train on it on a pretty constant basis, depending on who you are. But at the same time, it is instinctual, but I think it can go a little bit further and be more deliberate. And then truly that's what it is, because we could get through life pretty easy, especially now with society the way it is. We could coast through life and have it be pretty good. But at the same time, I do think that as far as we know, we only get one life. And so I do think that should be something that is more than just ordinary or coasting. It should be something that you're actually putting effort behind. And whether it's a pursuit based off your hobbies or interest, or whether you do think you want to contribute to society in some meaningful way, I think that, and so that's why I wanted to write this book, is because to be able to do that, you have to be protected. You have to be safe. You have to be able to know how to get through certain situations. And I'm not just talking about getting robbed on the street or something like that. I'm talking about car accidents. I'm talking about hurricanes, whatever weather system that comes through it, and situations like that, because we all go through situations every day that our safety is at risk. And it could be minor, or it could be major, but at the same time, any little thing holds us back from being productive in our daily life. And so really I'm trying to get people past that so they can always be productive and not always defensive or on the defensive, speak.
Yeah. So Fight for Your Best Life is the name of the book. And what inspired you to come up with the four principles of survivals?
So that was because I'm a conceptual guy. So I also that's borrowed from the military. We have five principles of patrolling. And I wanted something that people could very simply contemplate or reflect on in a situation to be able to easily, especially because in these situations, it's going to be confusing. There's a lot of emotions, things like that. And so I came up with these four principles so that people are able to recall it really quickly and then be able to follow it. And then also, thankfully, it fell into a nice acronym, the acronym being SLIC. And then also that falls into a nice little slogan to where you always want to be slick during a crisis situation. And therefore, you try to do a play on words. But for the most part, it's just an easy way to recall information so that you can use it during a crisis situation.
That's really cool. Anytime we come up with memorable acronyms and memorable words that define, like, for example, KIS, right? Keep it simple, sir, or keep it simple. It just makes it easy for people to remember.
Yeah, the stupid.
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
Or actually, I think the other one is keep it simple, keep it stupid simple is now the nice way to say it. Stupid simple,
Nice, I like that. So those are some really cool ways to build that memory, build that foundation in our minds so that you're never having to worry about, hey, what was that thing again? And I think I've been reading this book, The Gap and the Gain, and he talks about how you need to really practice the thing that you really want to get good at. For example, one of the stories that Dan Sullivan talks about it is that when he grew up, he was number fifth child and seven kids, and he never really got into driving because people would always drive him. But then finally, when he did start driving, it's like, okay, it's something I got to do. But before that, he was getting limousine service. But one day, he drove and parked the car, and he like stuttered and shuddered because he didn't even think about driving when he was doing this thing. Because once you've driven enough, once you've performed that one activity so much, comes second nature. It's like your mind takes over that activity. So it's like you have to really practice those things to get. So what are some of the things that you teach about in your book that help protecting your loved ones or having that personal empowerment without having to think about it? Like, what are some of the practices that you talk about?
So the main thing is alignment. I think that nothing ever, no hobby or daily activity or anything. What's the other word? I'm forgetting it now. It's very simple. Anyway, no hobby is going to be easy to take on unless you're actually interested in it or it aligns with what you have going on. And we know that for a fact. And so it has to align with something that you either are interested in or are curious about or something, you know, that gives you joy or something like that. So that's the first thing. And so that's why I talk about, like, in the book, the first section of the book is very self-developmental heavy. So it's, and part of that is to figure out what your goals are in life and then also how to protect those goals. And then also at the same time, what you're interested in and then building programs off of that so that when you do introduce these new hobbies or activities, they already align with what you have going on. So they're easy to maintain. And with that being said, because I know not everybody is going to feel comfortable with firearms. I know not everybody might want to do combatives like jujitsu or some type of striking like boxing, Muay Thai, things like that. But if you're able to find something that can then relate, we'll just say someone is interested in just being social, right? So we talk about de-escalation techniques and how those just verbal de-escalation techniques and how negotiation skills and things like that, that those are definitely skills that can be practiced and align with what you have going on, because obviously everybody talks. So the better you get at talking, the better you can negotiate in life and the better you can negotiate in a crisis situation if it happens to be a person involved and things of that nature. So alignment, I would say, is the big key there, and just understanding yourself as a person and knowing, hey, I'm interested in this and I'm not so interested in this. So I know if I wanted to pick up a firearm and go to the range and start shooting, it's just not going to be my thing. Right. So why waste $400 or $500 to the pistol? Why waste that time to go out and do it if I'm just not going to be proficient at it? And then obviously, if you're not going to be proficient at it, then there's a safety concern, because now you know, that weapon is in the house and who knows what could happen. So that's why I'm saying, you know, it definitely has to be something that you are interested in, aligns with your lifestyle, and then that way everything is more seamless. So I'd say above all else, you know, alignment is key.
No, that's really good to know, because I've held firearm, you know, at the range, but that's about it. It's fun, but that's to the max that I've played with it. But as we're raising children, I have a one-year-old. You mentioned that you have little ones as well. What are some of the things that we can do as parents to also train them early on? So I also have older kids, of course, but what are some of the things that I can practice at home so that they're also aware of how to behave? Like we always tell them, hey, whenever somebody rings the doorbell, don't just go run out there and open the door, right? Make sure you check your parents are around, and then have them open the door or come back and report what's going on. Any tips that you talk about in there? How do you work with your children?
Yeah, so it's one chapter, because I go into this like analytical framework that I use, and it's talking about layered security and not just that, but the third party resources that you can leverage either before, during, after a crisis event. And obviously part of that, your loved ones being the first layer of that, and they're very unique, because loved ones, since they are with you 24/7, you're able to have them developed beforehand. So you're able to train them, educate them. You're probably going to be with them during the event, and you're going to be with them after. So they're going to be three parts of the entire situation. And with that being said, their development, I do have different category types or characteristics that kind of help people guide them on where they're at, because especially a lot of it is age restricted, right? You don't want to be teaching a 2-year-old a lot of things about physical conflict, because it's not in their one, they're not going to understand it. Two, if they do start to understand certain things, it's not appropriate for them. But at the same time, so a lot of it is, I would recommend it being age centric and then also developmental centric. Obviously, as a child progresses, we teach them not to touch a hot stove, stay away from outlets, don't put anything in the outlets, look both ways before crossing the street, those kind of developmental milestones. Now, obviously, once they get to a certain age, and I would say that's probably around, I would even, depending on who they are, 13 is young when it comes to certain stuff, because they're mature enough to understand, but not mature enough to fully understand consequences. So they'll understand the situation, but not the consequence. And then it doesn't, which that really doesn't happen until, I'd say, like my wife says, I don't know what she read, but she says that the brain isn't fully formed until, I think she said 25. And I don't, someone would have to look that up for me, but that, we'll just go with that number. So until you're at the age of 25, you definitely, you're not going to understand the full picture. But within that area, I'd say that's when you're really able to pull out all the stops. So about like 16 and upwards, you can say, hey, if this happens, if you're in a situation where someone grabs you, this is how to train for that. This is where the weapon is in the house. This is how we use it. And obviously you start from basic level proficiency, which means the weapon is unloaded, you're just going through how to use it, functionality of it, safe, unsafe, things like that, and then progress to the range. And then obviously everything is a progression training, just like anything else. Well, just if you want to go lift weights, you're not going to go in there and do your max bench press or whatever, or maybe you do just to test it, but at the same time, you're not doing it multiple reps.
Right.
It's just going to be that initial kind of see an overview, and then from there it's a stepping stone kind of method of getting yourself to a certain training level. And so I'd say for the most part, training for children is going to be all based off their developmental milestones and age appropriate.
That makes a lot of sense, because obviously you're there to protect your children, right? Making sure that they're of the right age. Like my oldest is 13, and I can say for sure yet he's not ready. Because it is true that the brain is fully developed by the age of, basically fully mature around 25, but it's around age 15 when they start remembering and they can start problem solving on a deeper scale. So that's something that, again, it all comes down to training, right? If you go back in the past, there were kids or teenagers and whatnot in the army and fighting and whatnot. Right. And it's crazy how in some places around the world, that's what they're growing up into as well, which is
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
And that's the thing too, is not only the physical or mental ability, because I also characterize the traits by emotional and spiritual ability as well. And that emotional and spiritual piece is something that you don't gain until later on in life and maybe even well past 25. But and that's a very key piece too, because in these situations that are life or and death or can be, if you don't handle it in the most ideal way possible. And when I say ideal, I'm not 100% like perfect, but I'm saying at least decent outcome. You're going to feel the repercussions, and it's definitely going to follow you for the rest of your life. And so that's why when it comes to training like this, you definitely have to think about it in a more emotional and spiritual type of way, because not maybe it's not there in the forefront to where at the event you're not thinking it's emotional, but you're not thinking about your life of death, where you're thinking about what's the afterlife, this, that, and other. But as soon as that event is over and the days fall on that, and then years after that, I guarantee you start to think about it a little bit more. And so that's why I think that to introduce some of these principles, like I said, age appropriate and developmental milestones to your children, to your loved ones, sets them up better to where they're not trying to figure it out after the fact and they have a little bit of insight forefront.
I like that a lot, man. Thanks so much. Now,
I don't know.
let's take a quick break, and when we get back, you've got three hacks that you're going to share with the audience that, so that they can take an action in their lives or in their entrepreneurship or what have you. We will be right back. Are you ready to amplify your business? SBI Pro is your gateway to elevate your entrepreneurial journey, offering cutting-edge education, immersive training, and interactive collaborations. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, SBI Pro is the community for you, providing you access to professional networking and advice to accelerate your growth. To join, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SBI Pro. Join SBI Pro and transform your unique journey into a success story. Again, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SBI Pro. Hey guys, welcome back. We'll be talking with John Brewer here, the author of Fight for Your Best Life. I think I got that article. Yeah, Fight for Your Best Life. The book's been out since October of 2023, and it's really powerful, and I can't wait to read more of it because it talks about redefining self-defense, making sure that you're effectively protecting yourself and your loved ones. And John has a few hacks for us to share. So John, take it away.
Yeah. So the three hacks, one I've come up already talked about, that's alignment. And that's with anything. And that goes along with kind of self-reflection and self-awareness. You have to know yourself to be able to align things with that. Cause it's gonna, when that goes relationships, your career, your hobbies, your interest, if they don't align, then they're just gonna cause this friction. There's always going to be something that there's going to be bumps in the road and it's not going to be as well. There's going to be bumps in any road, but at the same time, if you align things with you truly with what you have going on in your life and as you as a person, things are a lot smoother. The second thing, second hack would be to be curious. And that's something that I've learned later on in life, because when I was in high school, even when I was in my undergrad, I didn't doing the normal thing, right? I was a college student and just, I didn't really care about my grades too much. I didn't really care about anything else other than what I had going on in my social life. And that's fine. But at the same, there is a bit of curiosity in that too, because obviously then you explore certain relationship situations, things like that. But for the most part, you don't want to become stagnant in the information or education that you carry. You always want to be gathering that information. And I'm not saying everything that's out there, because there's a bunch. What I say is what align, going back to the alignment, whatever align with your interests, hobbies, and what you have going on with your life. And the last thing would be to question everything, right? And that's any information that comes down, you have to do your own research, because if you just take everything for 100% truth, everybody's human, even if they were a subject matter expert, there might be a aspect of it that doesn't apply to your life or whatever it might be. And so you take it for a grain of salt, you do your own research, and then you apply it to your own life and your methodologies and things of that nature. So I say it's alignment first, stay curious, and then question everything is the three hacks that I would recommend to people.
And I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Those are powerful. Those are something that we can implement in our lives, making sure that we're in alignment with what we're going into, staying curious. And yeah, remind me of the third one, question everything. Stay curious, question everything, and be in alignment. Man, I love those. All right, man, I've got 6 questions that I'll have to ask my guests. So number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
So carpentry, actually. And I'm still actually planning on getting into it. And I've dabbled in it. But actually, one thing that I've noticed is looking at, me and my wife like to look at the beachfront renovation shows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you notice that all of them are contractors. That's who they bring onto the show. So realizing that, I was like, man, I got to get into a little bit of contracting and things of that nature. Because one, there's always work to do around the house. Two, yeah, I like to be able to make stuff in my hands. So I think it's a good hobby to get into.
No, woodworking is a ton of fun, especially when I was doing my beekeeping. I built a lot of my own hive stuff, like putting the boxes together, putting all the frames together. So a little bit of woodworking here and there. And of course, I built some of the shelves and chairs and whatnot at home as well. So it's a ton of fun when you get to create something with your own hands. It's a lot of fun too. Yeah. Also, so and experience that.
Yeah, I wanted to, I was looking into not beekeeping. I have land that I wanted to put some bees out just to see what would happen to the ecosystem with plants and things of that nature. So I started looking into that a little bit. I haven't really got too far, but at the same time, that is something that I might be getting into, and maybe I'll build my own boxes, like you say. So yeah, maybe that'd be my first project.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a huge community of beekeepers in the area that you live in. I can connect you with them. We actually did a short film using the people or working with the people based out of the area that you're located in.
Because I forgot what it was. I think it might've been when we were watching Shark Tank and a guy came on and he had these beehives that he was making and wanted to make he had a startup. And then I started thinking, I was like, yeah, because my land has been, I bought it 5-6 years ago, and I've farmed it for timber just to clear out some stuff and then obviously make a little bit of money, but mostly trying to get rid of pine trees because I don't want my soil to be acidic. I want it to be, and I want hardwoods, but at the same time I started thinking, I was like, what else can I put out there? And then I saw that Shark Tank and it was bees, and I was like, man, I think bees would be pretty cool to put out there just to see what would happen. So I think that is the next thing that I would introduce out there.
Slowly, man. All right, let's jump in to the second question. What did you want to be when you were a child?
The first thing that comes to mind, oddly enough, I'm not a tall guy, but when I was in middle school, it was a dream of mine to play basketball for UNC Chapel Hill. Growing up in North Carolina, my family, half of them are fans of Duke, half of them are fans of UNC Chapel Hill. And once I got into basketball, that was my goal. I just wanted to play basketball for, not even like professionally. I just wanted to play for Chapel Hill. And like I said, I'm not a tall guy, and I ended up not getting into basketball. I got into wrestling. And then actually that kind of brought me to where I'm at now with my career, which is, I think, a better career. Not saying that being a professional basketball player isn't, but at the same time, I think for me, things worked out the way they were supposed to.
It's more in alignment with who you are, just like you mentioned, right? It's in alignment with who you are.
Yeah.
Nice.
It'd have been great to see a 5'6" white dude playing professional basketball, but it'd have been interesting. But no, I think I'm very satisfied for where my life is now. So I wouldn't take it back for anything.
Yeah. All right. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
It's funny. My wife would say right off the bat, The Office. I repeat The Office all the time. It's like my background music speak. Mm-hmm. And then also like it. And Parks and Recreation, I would say too. And the reason why I like it so much is because they did a very good job of introducing real themes and making fun of them to where it's the way our society is. And we take it for that it's normal. And yeah, it's normal, subjective. But at the same time, I do think it's funny to, and plus it's a very written show, but I think it is funny how they introduce these situations in this environment of the workplace, and they have these running themes, and it just works very well together, and it's a nice satire on our society. And so I'd say The Office. I repeat that quite a bit.
That's really cool, man. All right, next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
So a movie that's already out and I would be the character. I like a lot of Leo DiCaprio's work. Django is actually one of my favorite movies of his. Not, I wouldn't want to be his character. I think actually I would want to be, his name is Christoph, right? He's the German actor. When in the movie, he plays the bounty hunter.
Oh, which movie is?
Django Unchained. I think his
Oh,
first name is Christoph. I just can't remember his last name. But yeah, he's a German actor. He plays in a lot of good stuff. And his character in Django is a
Christoph
bounty hunter.
Waltz.
Yeah, Waltz, there it is. And I would want to be his, like a character like his, because he's calculated, and not just like in his tactics, his physical tactics, but also mentally. Like he's sharp-tongued, he's witty throughout the whole movie. And so I'm not saying that I've never been known to be witty. I can be funny at times, but not necessarily. I'm not always on as much as I can be. And for his character in that movie to be always saying the right things and then always doing the right things. And then obviously at the end, his emotions get him a little bit, and then he does what he does and then pays the price for it. But at the same time, I'd say that would be the character I would most want to play.
I love it, man. All right, next up, who is your favorite superhero?
So superhero wise, hard because one now that which I never really grew up on comics, but I did know obviously the main superheroes, right? And then obviously with Marvel doing what they're doing now, it's become more mainstream. And I'd say that one of my favorite characters is Deadpool. That now that man, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, Ryan
Ryan
Reynolds is
Reynolds,
playing it
yeah.
because one, he was born for that role. Two, Deadpool is such a interesting character because I say we always the anti-heroes to where they're. Because no one truly is a goody two-shoes, right? And they're even the people who think they are, they're not. They're more hypocrites than anything. And so that's why I like that kind of, but at the same time, as long as you have that moral compass that keeps you, not saying that Deadpool does, because like I said, I haven't read the comics. I'm sure he does some pretty heinous stuff in the comics, but we'll just say in the theme, in the realm of Marvel movies, he hasn't really done anything too crazy. And so I'd say that Deadpool, because obviously one actually I think his in the comics his he might have been special forces, that was his background, or some type of special operations. I don't really remember what it was, but obviously he's got some background. Then what happened to him, and then he got his abilities and things like that. But I'd say that would be a character that I most, I guess, relate to. Not saying that I'm that badass or anything, it's just more
No,
something
of
that would
course.
more
Of
so anime
course.
me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like it. Deadpool, he really did a lot of work on that character and he pushed it. He pushed it because he wanted that character for himself. And they screwed up his role when he was in Wolverine. Like they basically shut him up, right? Like, you're not talking. He's, you know what? Screw you guys. I love talking. This is who I'm gonna be. And they did a really awesome job for sure.
I'm glad he did that too, and it shows that he, because there are some, especially in the whole Marvel universe or whatever it is, whatever the content where the content actually comes from, a lot of the actors they'll just take it just because they need a job, and that's fine. But at the same time, it's nice to see someone who actually cares about the character and the development. And so when something goes wrong, same thing with Henry Cavill. I don't think he really necessarily liked what was going on with The Witcher because he was such a fan of it. And so it's nice to have a little bit of passion about what you're working in and things of that nature.
Nice, I love it. Cool, man. And last question, if you were a board game, what would it be?
If I was a board game, I can't say I would be, even though it's popular, I can't say I would be Monopoly just because that would be giving myself too much credit. But at the same time, I do think the other thing that comes up is chutes and ladders to where, but because I do try to be simplistic, right? I try to be simplistic outwardly. And then maybe inside and in my thought process, maybe it's a little bit more so complicated. But at the same time, I'd say that I do like to present myself in a way that's more simple to understand. And hopefully that's the case. Who knows? Because that's my perception of it. But at the same time, nice. I think Chutes and Ladders, just because, you know, it's a very simplistic board game. And maybe there's probably a lot more thought process that went behind it. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they're just like, hey, let's just throw this is what it is and let's market it. But at the same time, I'd say, because I like things to be simple. And so that would be the board game that I would be.
Man, I like that. That's funny because my last guest also picked Chutes and Ladder.
Oh, yes.
Board game.
Yeah, maybe it's coming back. I will say this too. My granddad, he came up with, he was going to try to build a board game. And it was because he was a business professor and he wanted to help people learn, which I think, Kawasaki, I think is his name. The guy Rich Dad Poor Dad.
He has a board game, Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah, he has a board game, and I actually did buy it, and we played it a couple of times. And it's
a board game.
Yeah, and so my granddad actually came out with the game that's like that. But instead of from the view of the cash flow to where you can buy up multiple avenues, whatever assets there might be out there, this one is more focused on, I think, one business, and you're running that business from start to finish. And so I was about to choose that, but that also would be giving myself too much credit. There's a lot of intricate pieces that go along with that. So I like to keep it simple.
Of course, man, this was a lot of fun. All right, man, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom, your story, the hacks that you've shared, and those are absolutely applicable and usable for us. Where can my audience find you and your books?
Yeah, my website, mindshieldandspear.com. And that's where you'll find pretty much any and all resources, because it has links to my LinkedIn. It has links to the book. I also have a blog now to where it's for subject matter experts and professionals to share their perspectives and experiences on everything that could go along with self-defense or self-development or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say that would be the main spot. Like I said, I'm on LinkedIn. And then also the book has a Facebook, but it was mostly just to generate some audience before the book came out. But sure. mindshieldandspear.com is where you'll find everything at.
Perfect. We'll be sure to share the links in the show notes when the episode comes out. And so people can get to your book, they can get to your website and contact you on the beautiful book that you've written here. John, thanks so much again, and I wish you the best. We'll look forward to connecting with you more. We are local to each other, so maybe one of these days we'll be in person. But absolutely excited to have this conversation with you, and super excited to continue building that relationship as authors and as fathers go. Yeah. This is amazing, and until the next episode, catch you later.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.